gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This hour brought to you by, we have a sponsorship page, you know.
That's right.
Raising money for breast cancer in honor of my mom, Jeannie, five-year survivor. Go to PugetSound.info. /Komen.org/go-to/Laura B. Okay. That's a long website, but it's for her mom.
Yeah.
Do it.
Do okay. it, please.
Do it, please. My mom is very upset at the loss of the... You know, my other sibling, Glenn Beck.
Oh, did you? Oh, you talked to her about this?
I don't want to get into it. It's very...
She's distraught.
All right. Lavette, yes, very emotional. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there.
She still has the radio show to listen to for 3 hours a day. She doesn't have to...
We have another big show. Oh, can I... Well, listen, you know what? Miracles can happen. First of all, Glenn Beck canceled. Second of all, you're not even going to believe this. And I'm going to attribute directly to Hump Days with Hal Sparks. I can still have Hal Sparks' baby.
Oh, no. It's a Christmas miracle.
It's very strange. Just when the Lifetime movie is in the planning stages, I am a girl again. I don't know what happened. It's happened yesterday. You know, I thought the eggs were dead eggs walking. No, I can still have Hal Sparks' baby. So, it's a testament to the power of Hal, the virility of Hal Sparks.
So the dust stopped and...
Yes! Now you can't even do that stupid joke anymore about my eggs coming out. Juicy.
Okay. Okay. Congratulations.
I don't know why I feel the need to share some personal things, but it's a bit of a miracle.
Well, I'm glad you didn't go out and have sex with wild abandon.
Thanks, like you suggested.
Yeah.
Good job.
All right. Producer I am.
All right, that's the oddest opening to the show ever. Let's, you know what? Let's get into Right Wing World.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com. So inviting to me. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Oh, am I on? I'm sorry. I was just writing my cover letter. Dear Roger Ailes. I understand that there's now a time slot available.
Yes.
And a chalkboard is available, too.
Yeah. By the way...
Wow.
It's a free chalkboard. Carl, here's having had, a TV show or two canceled. You know the thing about the, we're going to work together on lots of other stuff?
Yeah.
Computer says no.
Is that maybe in this case? I don't know. But normally they're full of when they say that.
Well, I was saying yesterday that that's like the television equivalent of saying, I'm leaving to go spend time with my family.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, granted, this family happens to be a demented, conspiracy-swilling family, but you know, of right-wing teabaggers, but it's a family nonetheless.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. I'm just saying that's sort of a... I was naive enough. You remember, Chris, back then when it happened to me.
Yeah.
I think Disney put out the same statement, and
yes.
I was like, oh, really? We're working on other projects? And then
it never happened.
I was a little naive. Carl,
you give Glenn Beck an assignment to do a diorama, and he'll think he's working on something that's going to save the world. So,
right.
but,
so
you
Carl,
know, he's a lunatic, and good riddance. He won't have a daily platform. And, you know, Keith Olbermann was right. The worst thing he's got going on for himself right now is that whatever he does, he has to compete with Fox.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have to say, to be too crazy for Fox, that is really... I mean, that's... But, I mean, he said, did you hear what he said on his radio show? Don't think Media Matters won. It's not because of them.
No, Media Matters won.
Yeah. I'm not going to say that Media Matters was the only thing out there that made this happen. Obviously,
right.
Color of Change and other groups helped this along. But I'm going to say that Glenn Beck really is the person that made this happen impossible for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, because it would be hard to force someone to do quite that crazy a show.
No, if he didn't do what he did, he wouldn't have lost 300-plus sponsors.
Right.
He wouldn't have lost 1 million viewers. over the last year. And you know, at the end of the day, Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch are businessmen, and they don't want an embarrassment, and they don't want to lose money. So they'll take the embarrassment. It's kind of like that construction triangle, cheap, fast, and good. They'll take two sides of a triangle of crazy and profitable, but if you drop profitable, you're out the door.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's hard to say, you know, that's the problem, unless you know the inner workings. I mean, he says, oh, it's not about sponsors, and you think, well, it's got to be. It's, what was it, up to 300 or something, Carl?
Yeah, well, you had Roger Ailes expressing frustration in the New York Daily News. So eventually the truth begins to seep out a little bit. But I think it's no coincidence that, you know, gold reached an all-time high on the day that Glenn Beck was fired.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. Lawrence O'Donnell, I didn't really know this, but last night he was talking about how, you know, while good for cable news, he still said, you know, Glenn Beck frequently says, oh, America thinks this or America. He said, do you know, like, less than 1% of the population of America watches him? I mean, you know.
Way less than 1%. Probably less than half of 1%. I mean, that's what I always tell people. I'm like, yeah, you know, Fox News does, you know, they're the leaders and whatnot. But on any given night, you know, there's more people watching network news. So you've got a couple million people a night watching Fox News, a couple million people watching CNN and MSNBC combined. But a couple million people plus a couple million people equals about 3% of the country.
The punchline for me of the whole thing is that apparently Fox News did this to because it was hurting their credibility.
Well, you want to talk about credibility? You know who they're about to replace him with, I think?
Who?
9/11 truther Andrew Napolitano.
Yeah.
No
I've
way.
Heard that. I've
Judge
heard that.
Judge No Forehead, seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Just what's about to go through the roof? Not gold, but the sale on mafiosa pinstripe suits and giant ties.
Yes.
And Wookiee hairlines.
You know who else is gunning for? You know who else is gunning for that time slot?
Who?
The people on Red Eye.
Oh, sure.
They're putting out a they're putting out a campaign to take that time slot.
I think they belong at 2 a.m.
Yes, they do.
The other thing I'll say is that Glenn Beck said, you know, to his listeners yesterday, he's like, you know, we'll find each other. And it just sounded so creepy. I'm like, are we looking at, like, a missed connections thing on Craigslist or something here?
It's like someone saying that to you despite the restraining order.
Right.
We'll find each other.
We'll find each other. Is
okay,
that you,
no,
Glenn,
no,
in my window?
No, that's creepy.
That's creepy.
All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Oh, this was my favorite, Carl. I'm sure you heard this. He compared himself to Paul Revere.
When I took this job, I didn't take it because it was going to be a career for me.
No.
Paul Revere did not get up on the horse and say, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. He didn't do it. He got off the horse at some point and fought in the revolution. And then he went back to silversmithing. If you have watched this program, and you really, I ask you at times, hear me. You know what I believe is coming. I believe we're heading into deep and treacherous waters.
Oh, well, Carl, at least we know that it's coming by sea, whatever it is. Maybe it's Godzilla from the Sea of Japan.
I don't follow his metaphors very well all the time, but am I to presume, based on what he said, that A, he's going to fight in some revolution, and B, that he's going to go back to his old life of snorting cocaine?
Yes. And how would Goldline feel about him silversmithing? I'm not very... Yeah, I think that, well, whatever's coming, the apocalypse that he warns of.
Right.
Clearly, at least we know, one if by land, two,
it's
by
sea.
It's by sea.
Of a different kind.
Because it's treacherous water. Okay, Sean Hannity.
Look, the country's headed to bankruptcy. That's all there is to it. Uh-huh. We can't sustain the path we're on. President Obama was kind of gutless, cowardly, no spine, timid as usual. He didn't present a budget with any real cuts. We've had a minimum of $1.5 trillion every year he's been president, so that's nearly $5 trillion in Obama debt. And so the Republicans, somebody needed to be an adult. $6.2 trillion, I think, is a great budget start.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Except that the president proposed precisely the amount in cuts that the Republicans offered when they first took power. So, you know, somebody had to be a grown-up here, and it was the grown-ups who came to the table to negotiate, and it's the little juvenile punks known as the Republican caucus who have thrown their weight around and made Boehner look like a fool. You know, I think when it comes to Boehner, I'm of Anthony Weiner's variety. Nobody calls him Anthony Weiner.
No, I mean, they really are. They're the kids that change the rules in the middle of the game, right? They're like, nuh-uh. No. Now the goal line's here.
Consistently, yeah. They have no regard for the rules. You know, they also did some stuff when they first took power about, you know, we'll have to get this kind of provision done. If we're going to spend money, we have to pay for everything that we do. And they've broken those rules time and time again. So this Republican caucus is no different than it was before 2006.
Yeah. Well, as you know, the deficit only started on Obama's watch, according to Stuart Burney.
We are facing a fiscal debt crisis, okay? It is looming. It is upon us. We're massively in debt. There is only one plan on the table to deal with it, and that's from Paul Ryan, released yesterday. That's the only plan in town. Democrats created this. They do not have a plan to get us out.
What?
Yeah, the Paul Ryan plan is about a good chance of being confirmed by the House and Senate as Glenn Beck to the Supreme Court.
You know, doesn't this kill you, Carl, about the main, quote-unquote, mainstream media? It's not even the right-wing media. If I hear one more time that this is a serious budget, this is a serious plan, it's seriously awful.
Yeah.
Why do people keep, oh, well, this is very serious. This is a serious plan.
Well, it's not serious. I mean, it's from Paul Ryan. So.
It's from Eddie Munster, for God's sakes. All right. Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar. We continue with Right Wing World in just a moment. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue Right Wing World with Carl Frisch next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
How did this show stay so fresh?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour. Carl Frisch in the sidecar from Bullfight Strategies. Carl, a new, NBC Wall Street Journal poll, in terms of who we get the blame for a shutdown. You know, the problem is, I mean, people get that it would be more the Republicans' fault, but it looks a little, it's almost 40% Republican, but it's like 20% say the president, 20% say Democrats. How do you think that would play out? Because, I mean, it really is a giant game of chicken right now.
Well, it's a giant game of chicken, but ultimately I think people will blame Republicans because they deserve the blame.
Right.
And people that vote don't have terribly short memories. They remember when the Republicans did this 15 years ago.
Right.
And they also know that, you know, this has been Republicans doing. The president has compromised and compromised again. If Boehner keeps on talking about coming to the negotiating table and his negotiating posture is, I want 100%, now let's negotiate, I think people will see right through that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I think the president did a good job framing it where he said, we gave you the number you asked for when you started this.
Exactly.
I mean, anyone that's been through a negotiation goes, wait a minute, you know. All right, Steve Hayes on the Brit Bear on the show.
I think we've reached the point where the farcical is too much for pretty much everybody. John Boehner is going to drive a hard bargain. I think he's actually done a good job managing his caucus throughout this process.
Oh, please, he's Toonsis, the driving speaker.
I don't think anybody thinks that he's done a good job.
No, not even his own caucus, but
right.
I love the turn of phrase, Boehner managing his caucus.
All right. Oh, we still have Glenn Beck on the radio.
All of those ballots that were collected by state and local workers
in
Wisconsin are all going to be locked down every night by state and local workers, and they'll be protected by state and local workers.
Oh, I get
it. And so you have nothing to worry. There won't be any shenanigans. And if you think there is, what you should do is you should immediately call the DOJ and make sure that you get the DOJ to come in and oversee to make sure that those ballots are absolutely safe in the hands of those state and local workers. And I'm sure that the Obama administration will send somebody there to make sure that they oversee that everything is done exactly right.
Wow! Wow! How did we
How
know
are
that?
We do without this guy?
Anytime.
How are we gonna do?
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime a Democrat or you know the what's perceived to be the liberal judge wins, I guess it's clearly it must be a fraud.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, his solution, of course, is having a bunch of neo-Nazi militiamen do the vote counting. So
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody from Koch Industries, I'm sure, would be much more trustworthy.
Yeah, they've got free time.
Yeah, all right. And Donald Trump on the Fox News.
I think the people in the Tea Party like me because I represent a lot of the ingredients of the Tea Party. What I represent very much, I think, represents the Tea Party.
Oh.
Did you hear that circular logic there?
Yes.
Dexter Von Frisch wants to be
Hey,
on.
Dexter!
Hello, Dexter!
He said, I think I represent what the Tea Party likes. They like things like me, and I like the Tea Party, and therefore, they like me.
Total circular logic
and
there.
And so?
Wow. Therefore?
Yeah, and therefore? All right. It's the war on prepositions. Carl Frisch from BullfightStrategies.com. You are a delight, sir. And give Dexter a kiss for me.
I will. Fingers crossed for me getting the 5 p.m. time slot.
Okay. Yay. Go, Carl. It's your birthday. Jim White's here early.
Yes, I wonder why.
Oh, I know, because Governor Jesse Ventura will be here in just a few minutes. He has a new book out.
That's right.
63 documents that government does not want you to read.
Weather machines?
Is that in there?
No.
I didn't see that.
I don't think so.
It's not. Okay. All right. He's been talking about weather machines, though.
Well, so did Defense Secretary William Cohen in 1997.
Okay.
But, so he's clearly a loon, so why listen to him?
All right. And then in just a couple of minutes, we return to Bender, David Bender.
That's right.
Who was right about Joanne Kloppenburg. He's the one that said, keep your eye on this one, because he's the smartest political strategist ever.
Really is.
He should be in charge of everything, everywhere.
Yes.
Always. All right. Oh, listener Ken in Cleveland has sent us a thanks for the memories for Beck. Bye-bye.
I'm sorry. I just love my country, and I fear for it.
And you want to call me crazy?
Yes.
Go to hell. Call me crazy all you want.
You evil little bitch!
Thanks for the memories.
This president, I think, has exposed himself as a guy who has a deep-seated hatred for white people or the white culture. I don't know what it is. This guy is, I believe, a racist.
I'm thinking about killing Michael Moore, and I'm wondering if I could kill him myself or if I would need to hire somebody to do it. Now, I think I could. I think he could be looking me in the eye, you know, and I could just be choking the life out. Is this wrong?
Daddy?
Yeah.
Why do you hate black people so much?
I'm part white, honey.
You became a Mormon.
Yeah.
Why?
My wife is, like, hot, and she wouldn't have sex with me until we got married.
Oh.
And she wouldn't marry me
God.
Unless we had a religion. And I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. I gotta go to church for this.
Believe it or not,
what?
I avoid confrontation like nobody's business. I don't like it. I don't like conflict.
Okay, some nasty flashbacks are coming your way.
How many people have I said, let's kill with a shovel, huh? How many people have I said, let's light them up and shoot them in the head?
I'm sorry. I just love my country. And I fear for it.
Yikes. Oh, goodness. Let's hope he goes somewhere he can rest where there's pretty birds singing. Ken in Palm Springs with a farewell to Glenn Beck. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Mama.
Hello.
I'd like to be the official gay desert rat.
Okay.
Stephanie Miller Show, if I could be.
Yes, indeed. All right, go ahead, quickly.
Listen, I think the reason that Glenn Beck started to fall was after his billion man march in Washington last summer. It was so melodramatic that he barely mentioned it again. It had no press coverage after that. And he would constantly say, life will never be the same after this march. Yeah, life was never the same after the march. They booted the hell out of him.
Yep.
The birds did yet another flyover to tell him it was time to go. 29 minutes after the hour, return to Bender next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
That is one skanky-looking co-core.
And I know from Co-Cores, me and the doctor of bleepology.
Oh, boy. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try Free button, type in that promo code Stephanie. Yeah, promo code Stephanie. Yeah. Wow, it's a week of big announcements. Tomorrow we're going to have a very big announcement.
A huge announcement.
Am I
huge.
Getting...
Huge.
Yeah. My getting Glenn Beck's time slot, has this been rumored?
Computer says no.
No, but it's something even more exciting.
Really?
All right. Well, in today's magical news, as you know, Mama's Girlhood is back. And no, Chris, it is not a tumor of any kind.
It's a tumor.
It is not a tumor.
I didn't say it was a tumor. A listener said it might be a tumor.
Too bad I could not become president so I could command FEMA.
It's not a tumor.
My FEMA.
Okay.
A listener wrote you and said...
My girlhood's back and I'm having House Parks babies on there.
Having my baby. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Actually, I think, isn't Hal, like, fathering a baby somewhere?
He might be.
I mean, he's David Crosby?
I think he might be a David Crosby.
Oh, yeah. Fabulous. All right. You know what time it is? It's time to return. Yeah.
Return the Bender.
David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
Return.
David Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
Yay, David Bender.
Good morning, David Bender.
I know David Crosby. David Crosby is a friend of mine. Hal Sparks is no David. Okay? All respect to Lloyd Benson, let me say, that, and it is true. Hal Sparks is, I believe, going to be a surrogate father for two women, close friends of his. So
the sperm gauntlet has been laid down nonetheless.
It is out there. Throw down. And look, can we talk about throwing down in Wisconsin?
Yes. Did you hear me say that you are the smartest political strategist ever and should be in charge of everything everywhere always?
I did, but I was waiting for you to repeat it, so thank you.
All right.
And you just did. Here's the truth. The truth is what happened in Wisconsin is not the end. It is the beginning.
Woohoo!
It's not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end. It is perhaps the end of the beginning.
Something. Yes, David. So,
Winnie, here's what we know. Here's what we know. First off, this is really important, kids, because already John Fund, I'm at a conference in Boulder, Colorado, that John Fund, our longtime Democrats cheat at elections guy, who immediately goes to the site of any contested election and starts bleating about how the Democrats stole it.
Uh-huh.
John Fund was supposed to be at this conference that I'm at, he canceled yesterday to go do Wisconsin, to go start screaming about how the election is stolen. We have one obligation right now, and it is to be as smart as they were in Florida in 2000.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. That's
this
right.
This is not a recount. We won this election. End of story.
Yes. By the way, just in case people are just tuning in, Supreme Court candidate Joanne Kloppenburg declared victory yesterday based on results reported by the Associated Press. They're the well-known socialist Kenyan group. Margin is only 204 votes, but it almost certainly will obviously go to a recount, correct?
That's my point. Yes.
Yes.
Will, but we're not talking about that. Let them talk about that. The fact is, when the elections, when 100% of the votes were counted, Joanne Kloppenburg won this election.
Right.
And that is our position, as it was George Bush's in 2000, from day one. And let it play out as it will. But today, and until such time as any court anywhere says differently, the winner of this election is Joanne Kloppenburg. The loser is Scott Walker.
You know what I love is that apparently, when the recount goes forward, whatever, so the Chief Justice in charge, Shirley Abramson, it's going to come before her. That's the one that he called a bitch, correct?
Yeah. I was going to say, that bitch is in
Judge
charge
Prosser.
Of all this. That's, there's a lot that is ironic and quite delicious about this entire process. But let me give you just for a minute some of the numbers of what actually happened on Tuesday that are so interesting. Because remember, turnout was three times higher than anyone expected, and certainly that was ever possible in an election for one state Supreme Court justice. There should have been no attention on this race at all. This is all about Scott Walker.
Yeah.
And what indeed happened is that there were 738,000 votes cast for Joanne Kloppenburg. There's another number that our folks in Wisconsin particularly should be thinking about today. By November, they have to gather signatures, and it can only start in November because it takes a year,
right,
to recall Scott Walker. The number needed to recall Scott Walker is 540,000 signatures. So there was a lot more votes cast for John Kloppenberg. And if you want to look at those numbers and stand them up side by side, and you're Scott Walker, you know you're going to be recalled come November.
Wow. Yeah, and I love that, you know, the first thing he did yesterday is insult Madison, where I'm guessing he won't get one vote.
I think it's pretty clear. You have two very different worlds in the state. You've got a world driven by Madison and a world driven by everybody else out across the majority of the rest of the state of Wisconsin.
Now, clearly, he's got to invade a country now. That's the only way to get
yeah,
on this.
Clearly, he's got to bomb Madison. Exactly.
I think he is, and I think Glenn Beck may be in charge of the state militia now. Because looking for work. Here's the other interesting thing is, you know, that there are these recalls pending, signatures being gathered in eight Republican state Senate districts, which when those senators are recalled, and they will be, what is going to happen is it will flip the majority in Madison. So Walker will have a Democratic state Senate to deal with. The thing that happened in that election on Tuesday was that three of those eight Republican Senate districts went for Kloppenberg. So already we're seeing the trend away.
No, it's huge.
From
I mean,
2010.
David, it's huge. And a Wisconsin state rep yesterday pointed out something even more interesting.
We have to count this as a tremendous victory for the progressive movement because 6 weeks ago, we were debating whether Prosser would win by 30 or 40 points, and that's all changed.
Yeah. I mean, you've been doing politics a long time, David. That is huge. He won by 30 points.
He was up by 30 points
when
this started. And no one expected that she had a prayer, except me.
You told me this weeks ago. You're like, watch this Kloppenberg race. I'm telling you, you're absolutely right.
And look, it doesn't take Nostradamus. It doesn't take even, you know, people with delusions like Glenn Beck to be able to see what is playing out in front of you. Actually, Stephanie, you said it best. They woke the sleeping giant.
Yep.
And it is not limited to Wisconsin. We're going to see this play out in Ohio. We're going to see it in Michigan. We're going to see it in Indiana. Karl Rove, back in the day, when he was, you know, trying to look at a long-term strategy for Republicans holding on, said, if you do nothing else, remember that there are going to be more Hispanics in the next election. And what did the Republicans do when they had the chance? They started demagoguing on immigration and overreaching and drove Hispanics away from the Republican Party for a generation.
Yep.
That's what they've just done with workers. And there are a lot of workers, and we're not talking just liberals and Madison people. We're talking people like firefighters and policemen, people who have always endorsed Republicans, are now driven out of that party, and I think for a generation.
Wow. Here is David Prosser yesterday, Judge Prosser yesterday.
We're still in this race. We've weathered the nuclear blast, and I'm still standing and will be there.
I love that.
And I'm glowing in the dark.
You lost. That's what it's known as in politics. You lost.
Hyperbole much, Judge?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we weathered the nuclear blast.
He's been listening to Glenn Beck too much, I think.
Yeah.
And at least, happily, we won't be able to listen to him or Glenn Beck much longer. Here's the truth of this. They are going to try and fight. They're going to, you know, call for, and it is automatic. I mean, I'm not saying this is an option. There is an automatic process. But our position needs to be, from this day forward, John Kloppenberg won, the people of Wisconsin won, and Scott Walker lost.
Yeah.
That's what this election was about. Prosser was roadkill.
Well, listen, I mean, listen to, first of all, listen to the not-so-fun facts. He originally built his, Prosser himself built his reelection campaign as, quote, being about protecting the conservative judicial majority and acting as a common-sense complement to both the new Walker administration and the legislature. That's not your job as a judge. Then he, you know, last minute, as you know, attempted to claim independence. But his own guy sent out, you know, a thing to his supporters saying, if Justice Prosser loses, the Supreme Court will shift from a conservative majority to a liberal majority. Governor Walker's agenda could be stopped in his track by this new activist majority. There they go with that activist word, right, when it's stuff they don't want. Union bosses and their allies will be emboldened, blah, blah, blah. Chief Justice Shirley Abramson the aforementioned bitch, as Judge Brosher called her, and her allies will continue to drag down the reputation of the court. I don't think she's going to look too kindly on that, but this all went out in his fundraising thing.
They were trapped in what we might kindly call Donald Trump's circular brain. and that's what happens, is they, you know, on the one hand trying to say, I'm independent, and on the other hand saying, but you don't want those liberals to take over the court. Well, you know, try and walk and chew gum at the same time. When you say these things, people are not stupid. They see that this is who David Prosser, he had been a Republican legislator. This is a nonpartisan race, but they understood fully what this was about. And he couldn't, there was no way to back and fill and walk away from it. So, look, at the end of the day, this race is over. Joanne Kloppenburg won. Scott Walker lost. But the next campaign is right ahead of us.
Yep.
In the next few weeks, those signatures, one has already qualified. There are seven more to go. When those state senators are on the ballot to be recalled, that election has to happen, I think, in 6 weeks.
Yep.
And so by summertime, we're going to see the Wisconsin State Senate flip back to the Democratic Party.
Woo-hoo!
And by November, we're going to see the recall petition circulating so that by January, Scott Walker will be on the recall ballot. And that is what began in Wisconsin on Tuesday.
I love you, David Bender. I've just decided I'm going to have your child and Hal Sparks' child. I can do
Your body can't handle that.
And we have a really exciting announcement regarding the Stephanie Miller Show in Madison that you might want to stick around for. I think that'll be tomorrow.
That's right.
Yeah. And then
count down for tomorrow. I can't wait. And you're going to have Jesse Ventura coming on, right?
Yes, in just a couple minutes.
Jesse Ventura, I worked with Jesse Ventura on campaign finance reform about 10 years ago when there was something called McCain-Feingold, and we got Jesse Ventura to come to Washington. It was a big, big deal, and everyone was saying, oh my God, he's going to throw, body slam these senators against the wall until they vote for this bill. I'm really interested to see what Jesse Ventura thinks about what's going on now, not just in Wisconsin, but with elections in general, because Citizens United has happened since he's left office.
Absolutely. We're going to ask him about that and 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read. He's coming up next. David Bender, I'll see you at my house in a couple of days.
Indeed you will.
And we'll just let people wonder what that means.
Hal Spark, move out of that bed right now.
Oh, God.
All right. Thank you, David Bender. 46 minutes after the hour, right back with Governor Ventura next.
Are you having a party or something?
Nonstop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. One of our favorite guys. Why does Jim Ward come early? Not for me, certainly.
Because Governor Jesse Ventura is going to be on.
That's right. Governor Jesse Ventura, who has a new book out, 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you today?
Good, good, good. You have some book signings coming up, so we're excited. You're going to be out here in L.A. At the ESPN Zone on the 12th, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, like as if you know.
I'll tell you, these book signings are hectic. You go from literally about 5:30 in the morning to almost midnight every night, so you kind of get lost. I have to ask what day it is occasionally.
Yes. Well, listen, you are a Navy SEAL. You can handle almost anything.
Well, I'm also going to be 60 years old this summer.
Wow. Now, you said that you put this book together in the same spirit as the WikiLeaks disclosures to reveal the truth.
Well, actually, Dick and I started this book before WikiLeaks.
Oh, really?
We began working on this book way last spring, you know, and then we finished it. But when WikiLeaks broke while we were working on it, we jumped for joy because we knew that the publicity of WikiLeaks would likewise help this book. And plus, once the WikiLeaks documents got into the public domain, we used them. And let me say this, every one of the documents documents in this book is in the public domain. We broke no laws. You can find them in the epilogue. We list places where you can go to locate documents on your own if you want to do the searching.
And this is your wingman, Jim Ward, over here. Thank you for proving to these people that this we're not pulling this stuff out of our ass. There are actual documents that document that these things happened.
Oh, absolutely. These are all government documents. And you know what? You know what I learned doing this book? Wait till you hear this. Last year, do you know how many documents the government classified top secret that we can't read?
Most how many?
Of them. 16 million.
Wow.
Yikes.
Now, that's kind of, I have to assume, just about every document they put out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not, I say we should be able to read just about all of them when they're timely, certainly as a seal. I understand you can't, you know, there is some secretive. But once it's over, they should be surfaced. And we have every right to know because we're taxpayers. And we have every right to know what they're spending our tax money on.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of, I mean, obviously, it looks to me a lot of it involves the CIA. You talk about secret assassination manuals about the destruction of detainee torture videos. I mean, what is your take on that when it involves the CIA? Because obviously it's supposed to be secret, right?
Well, no, not necessarily. It should be timely released when something no longer provides any, you know, that you have to worry about anyone being in trouble. We should have we should all be able to know. You know, we also find documents on 9/11 that are very interesting. The Pentagon stand down order. I always wondered, being military, why no jets got in the air that day. Well, you can read the reason why. June 1st of 2001.
What did they say?
They changed standard operating procedure. They had, before that, base commanders could make the call. Now it required coming from the Pentagon, or I should say the Department of Defense. And remember, they couldn't find Rumsfeld for 2 hours that day. Well, if they could, you had a stand down just by him simply not answering the phone.
Right.
Well, yeah, and this is what you're right. How come the world's biggest military superpower was somehow oblivious to rogue airliners in American airspace for more than an hour? I mean, that's a question I've actually always had, too. I mean, Jim comes down on the side, probably like you do, of government conspiracy.
What?
I think it's Bush administration incompetence.
No, it's far beyond that.
Well, you know, you can push incompetence only so far, but when the documents start showing up, it doesn't look like incompetence. It looks like planned.
Exactly.
I mean, document 47, the free fall of Building 7, in the document they admit it was demoed. They don't say demoed, but they said the building went into complete free fall. Well, that only happens if all resistance is removed.
Exactly.
Which, and the only way we do that is by demoing them.
I love the fact that in the write-up of Operation Northwoods, they talk about the Maine incident, which is a tacit admission that the Maine was self-inflicted, was a false flag operation.
Oh, yeah. That, you know, just about every war is started with false flag operations.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was the Gulf of Tonkin incident that got us into Vietnam. 2004, I'm teaching at Harvard. McNamara comes through. I guess he was getting ready to die, so he figured he better come clean. And he admitted it never happened. 58,000 of my generation and probably a million Vietnamese killed over an incident that never occurred.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to say, I'm reading my sister's book about my dad. And that was part of the reason my dad in Coldwater lost the election, you know, in that period, among other reasons. But, I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean,
and then there's other documents that are just mind-boggling, you know, the fact that the CIA's propaganda news on the Kennedy assassination, that's where they spun the Warren Report. They have documents showing how they went out to mislead the public and get them to believe fully that the Warren Report was legitimate. And another document that should be considered dangerous today. The internet kill switch.
Yeah, that's frightening.
The president can shut the internet down if he desires to, the complete internet.
Right.
I have to say I'm for that. No, I'm just kidding.
No, that is something I'm really concerned about.
Right? If it gets rid of some of the stuff about me on the internet, I'm for that.
Well, you know. Oh, by the way, I got to tell you, guess what? For the first time ever, Jesse Ventura has a website.
What?
Hey. What? No way. What is it?
Yeah, my son's doing. doing it for me. It's weaintgottimetobleed.com.
Great.
That's awesome.
And that's all one word. Weaintgottimetobleed.com.
Well, I love a lot of the stuff in there. I love when you say, what's it going to take for our leaders to consider the real cost of these endless wars, when you talk about Gulf War, you know, syndrome from people that, you know, adverse health stuff. There's so much great stuff in this book. Sadly, we only have 20 seconds or we're going to hit a hard break. We always could talk to you all 3 hours. You know that.
Well, I appreciate that, and I urge people, please, wake up. And we can take our country back if we simply stop voting for Democrats and Republicans. They're the problem, not the solution. Look at right
Governor
now.
Governor Ventura, we're out of time. 63.
Here's a classic example. They're going to shut the government down. They put their parties before the country.
All right. Governor Jesse Ventura.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Apps for iPhones to challenge your inner MOOC, theminibox.com/MOOC. That's THIMINBOXDOT. .com/MOOC. Oh, for the love of God.
Oh, God.
The minibox.com/MOOC. Okay. Oh, these hourly sponsorships or something. StephanieMiller.com is the website. Why, looky here, it's a more it's the more standard unsolicited testimonial. Kim writes, Steph, just wanted to tell you I was having a craptastic day yesterday due to my 41-year-old sister experiencing complications from her cancer surgery, though it looks like all is well now. It didn't stop me from being surly then. Sound effect of magical doors opening. Oh, all right. I listen to the podcast, which is only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. And wow, you were all on yesterday. I can't remember when I laughed so hard. Keep up the good work, assuming what you do can be considered work. Why, how dare you, Kim? Love the official immigration lawyer of the SM show, who hardly ever gets to call in anymore due to interference from my pesky clients.
Stupid clients.
All right. Hot show yesterday. Why, that's before Larry Miller was live. Yay. In studio. Larry Miller, comedian extraordinaire.
Hi, pal. You know what? It was a good show yesterday, though. You got a spit take off of me. It was just a small thing. That's why I love comedy anyway. It's so
yes.
real for me and people like us. Because you got when somebody called in to complain or to disagree with Chris or something,
yes.
and you just said...
Well, who doesn't?
Well, but you just said, like, it was so fast, you just leaned back and sort of said... Chris, it's for you! And it was like a family in 1962, but it was so fast. I was there with the kids. You make the kids breakfast in there, and they caught coffee, went all over them, which has happened before, but normally in anger.
Because now, we, as adults, you have it when you call your friend and the kid answers the phone, and then you get that blood-curdling, it's for you.
But that was... That sounded, again, it sounded like a hallway in a home in Indianapolis in 1962.
To complain about Chris, dial Richmond 972.
And I just, Jim and I know each other, we worked together before, but I had said to you when we met each other on the plane, I said, you know, and I love that guy, his voices are really something.
Yeah, well, you're both fellow voice deity, character actor guys.
Well, wait a minute, though, no, the impression, the impressions he does, I can do... One word, I can do one word of Christopher Walken, one word of Rex Harrison.
Then it gets shaky.
Just one word. And I have one sentence of Peter O'Toole.
Could you do the one word from Walken, please?
One word of Christopher Walken. Mm-hmm. All right, hang on. It's madness.
Oh, that's good. That's actually two. Yeah. That was two.
And it's like two, and his one word of Rex Harrison. Delightful. And here's my one sentence then, since this came up. I didn't crowbar this in, by the way, but since this came up, here's one sentence of Peter mm-hmm. O'Toole. This is Peter O'Toole as a supermarket checkout clerk. This is one sentence.
Okay.
Why didn't you show me the coupons before?
Oh, that was the best yet.
So he's very angry.
Well, we remember you from all kinds, Pretty Woman and yada yada, but the thing I plucked out of your resume, which I did not know, is that you voiced yourself on the Larry Miller Hair System episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
You know, by the way, let's all just take a moment and realize that was a heck of a sentence to have to
exactly.
put all that in.
Exactly.
That doesn't come up a lot.
We have to talk about how we got...
This is wonderful.
This is weird.
This is pretty neat. We were flying on a plane together, and first of all...
Like a month or two ago, right?
Yeah, it's neat. So we're sitting next to each other, and this is, by the way...
For half the flight before we realize that we're friends.
And there's a reason for this, though, and it's actually hysterical or horrifying.
Yes.
First of all, we were lucky enough to be in first class. There's something about... Let me tell you about first class.
I wasn't
class
paying, trust me.
I'm telling you.
It's only when someone else flies me.
We're the exact same person. I was coming back. I had a part in a movie. When you get a part in something, they fly you first class.
Yes.
Now, anyone out there knows, if you have a choice between first class and coach, you'll take first class.
Yes.
You don't have to be smart to know that. When we're paying for it, I'm always flying.
Oh, I'm in cargo.
I'm in coach. Sure, it doesn't matter.
I'm doing an Irish jig in the cargo hold.
It just doesn't matter. So the point is, we're walking in tall cotton. We're in first class.
Yeah.
But I have a lunatic thing about if I know a woman sits down next to me. I've done this for years. If you're in New York, and I always cross the street. I don't want to annoy her. I don't want to make her think that someone's behind her. Or if it's in an elevator, even if we're on the same floor, instead of letting her off first, I'll always just dart off first just so she doesn't think I'm going down the same hall. I have I think it's being polite, but I don't want her to worry. If we were in a strange city. So I know there's a woman sitting next to me, but I kind of curl over just to the window with my book.
Yes, you're very polite, yes.
And I don't know it's Stephanie. She doesn't know it's me. And we're old friends. We were friends the day we met.
She encourages groping, so exactly.
If you know it was me. Oh.
Sure, now. But so here's the thing. About 10, 15 minutes into the flight then, all men live on this level of... This is the way it is. If we don't like it, you have to complain to the manufacturer.
Yes.
But once you see, now it's a woman. All right, so look, I'm married, but still you might look, you had your legs curled up on the seat in front of you, and I don't know it's you, but your legs curled up, you're reading. So I just, out of the corner of my eye, I see, and I can still tell you the pants you were wearing and the shoes, and just at a glance, it hit the switch in my head of, absolutely. So
absolutely, would I tap that?
Just
yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Not even just sure, could be just absolutely. Men can do this through a swamp, through weeds at 2
Anyone's
in the morning.
Never making eye contact. It's just that.
No,
thing
we haven't seen
just...
each other yet. Then also you kind of, and I'm just telling you, this is on the level it lives. And because I remember you wearing a black T-shirt.
Yes.
So again, out of the corner of my eye, I just see the black T-shirt, and again, absolutely.
You're like, oh.
So. Mm-hmm. So now that I've done that, I think I was 10, 15 minutes in, so I want to at least be polite. So turn over. But I'm already on this level. So now when I turned and we saw each other, I just, with a smile, just went, oh, good Lord, Stephanie! Oh, my God. Oh, I'm so sorry. And now you put on those train brakes where the wheels start spinning in reverse, you know? I don't know what the look in my eyes must have been.
Well, I was looking at you half the flight going, that looks a lot like Larry Miller. And then I suddenly, because you don't want to do the full, particularly when you're in first class and you're not used to it. I'm like, I don't want to do the full, I didn't want to, like, lean over into your seat. Oh! Why it is Larry? Because then I thought, if it's not.
Oh, no, if it's not, then, well, it's a bald man in an orange shirt. But, but at that point, I don't know what the look in my eyes must have been, but I had to switch train tracks so much. You know, pull that giant switch.
You did look up into my eyes
finally. You thought you were Denzel
Washington. Well, because they must have looked like, if you go through a guardrail and almost go off a cliff, that look in your eyes right set at that second, that's what my eyes must have looked like.
And then we had to, because, you know, start telling all the old comedy stories. Remember that night at the Improv and whatever.
Well, we were, as we said there, we were friends the day we met on your TV show, and we started working together. We cared about the same people and Lee Brillstein at the time. And
yes,
that was,
we had a running bit. That was before several of my TV shows, so we're canceled, and... You had something canceled, and that was the running bit, is that you were there every night.
That's right.
Because then I said, Larry, I was just being nice when I said, come back.
That's
we don't
right.
really want you to come back every night. So you were there with your little box full of stuff.
And, that's right.
Yes.
Because when they cancel a TV show, there's no ceremony to it. You get to your dressing room, and those names slide right out.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, listen, Glenn Beck is clutching his little box now with all his knickknacks as we speak.
And then they put, these are people I cared about, these other actors, you know, and they have a box in front of each door with your meager little things in it. Oh, my clock and my, you know, the picture of that car or whatever it is. And they just put it in. And so it's very clearly a, here's your hat, what's your hurry?
Yeah. But now you have a whole, basically it's a thriving mini career just playing college deans in movies. Why are you always a dean?
Well, first of all, Stephanie, right?
See, just the way you say it. You're like, he's a college dean.
Stephanie?
Mm-hmm.
Well, John Wayne didn't play just one sheriff, Stephanie. You know? Now I realize that's reaching a little high.
Yes.
But
yes.
You know what? I love this stuff so much. I love acting and writing. But I'm a, yeah. You know, when parts come up. In fact, Tom Shadyac, who had directed when he called for the Nutty Professor the first time, said, "Now I know you've played Deans before. I don't know if you want to play this." And
right.
And I, look, I love the guy, and I just said, What are you talking about?
Yes, of course.
Let's see, it's a $1 billion movie with Eddie Murphy, and it's going to be a great movie. You're right. Maybe I've played too many Deans. You know what? It's wonderful. So, but you know what? I've rediscovered, though. I love acting. I really do. But I'm a comic, first and last.
Yeah.
And I've rediscovered that it's getting deeper for me. I'm going out a lot. And I have a one-man show I'm doing, which is different. It's theatrical. It has music in it. It's called Cocktails with Larry Miller, Little League, Adultery, and Other Bad Ideas. And so I do, but it's getting deep.
And you're going to be in Vegas coming up.
Right, but also, by the way, that there's a theater in Dayton, Victoria, like I think it's May 7th. But you know what I'm actually proudest of, in a way? I'm so deeply into podcasting now. And sites and tweeting. And these are things that, as you know, don't pay anything.
Right.
But I love them so much. To me, it's like television in 1946.
Right.
Of, wow, there's a whole world that's forming out there. And so I'm really proud to say, if folks want to check it out, it's acelarrymiller.com. And it's and everything gets from there, the website, tweeting and everything.
And now you also have some sort of contract that requires you be in every Gary Marshall film. I'm not sure why, but you're in a new...
I love the guy. You know what? It's so cool that... Look, you never know where show business is going to go.
Right.
And by the way, when people say, and it happens a lot, I have a kid who wants to get into show business, what should I do? You know, and I always say, no, you're
Don't.
Right. No, it's fantastic. You're right. Don't let the kid, it's better that the kid go to work for Aetna and then get fired at 41 because he's no good. So that's better. You're right. And why take the risk of show business? You know what? Let the kid do that. There are thousands of ways to make a living in show business. It may not work out if the kid wants to be Brad Pitt or something.
Yeah.
It may not work out that way, but there's lots to do.
Right.
And so, you know what? In my case, one of the things I'm lucky enough to have is that, I just love the guy. Gary Marshall, he calls
it
always...
Well, talk about that and the fact that when I was talking on the show, remember, Chris, about how I loved Larry Miller and ran into him on the plane.
Yeah.
We got a lot of calls going, you know, he's a Republican. I said, I don't care. I love him. We will talk. Now we'll have makeup sex. We have so much to talk about. You'll be here all hour, 18 minutes after the hour. Back with comedian Larry Miller next. 19 minutes after the hour. Back with Larry Miller, who's so many wonderful things. Republican not among them, but so many other good things. We'll focus on that next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Comedian extraordinaire Larry Miller live in the studio with us all this hour. Next hour, Carl Salzrocki, comedian extraordinaire. It's like a friar's roast this morning. It's a
Speaking of self-created content, he's promoting a show, which I am in.
Which Jim Ward is in. 1-800-STEPH-12. Von Seal in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, Von Seal.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Mr. Miller.
Good morning.
Loved y'all this morning so much.
Thank
Stephanie.
You. Yes.
And one of the few ways I can think of to repay you for all the help you and the Mooks have given me in raising Fuller Baudouin into a beautiful, accomplished, wonderful woman is...
From a sullen, resentful teenager, yes.
From a sullen and resentful... Thanks to the Stephanie Miller Show,
yes.
She has completely turned around.
Yes.
Wow.
And is now an achieving college student. I want to be the co-parent for your love child with Hal.
With Hal Sparks? All right. Woo! So done. You are it. Thank you. All right.
I'm not sure Monsieur Vonciel is on on track with that.
Larry Miller, what is the Gary Marshall thing? What are you doing? What's your next?
I also want to speak to the... You kind of pin me to the board like a butterfly there.
Yes.
By the way, the guy's a Republican. You know what? First of all, I'm not. I was for 4 years in the 80s. But you know what? Let me tell you something about...
Have you come
to
the light?
No, hang on a second. I've come to my light of, I was a Democrat and I left. I was a Republican and I left. I'm an independent now, and I'm thinking of leaving that too.
You fear of commitment, don't you?
No, you know what? The thing is, I'm out. I'm so out of it and disgusted. To me, I'm glad I have friends like you who are in a thing. But whenever someone says to me, here's this thing, let's do this. You know what?
Right.
Oh, okay. No, here's this thing, let's do this. If you say so. You're looking at someone who we took our family when the grocery workers went on strike. We took our family out with the kids and said, listen, this is who we are, and you're going to see what a demonstration is, and we're going to walk the line with this. And that's fine. And they got yelled at, but this is who we are, because we're union people. And you know what? And I was there every day, and every time, say, a camera would come by, they didn't need me on camera. What I'm getting at is this. There were trucks still delivering.
Right.
And they said to me, you know, it's not working out. These are the people I knew from the Ralphs for 18 years.
Yeah.
And they said to me, you know what, it's not working out, because they took me around the back. There were trucks delivering stuff, and the drivers would get out because they couldn't be in union drivers. They couldn't drive it, and they would just let someone else drive it in. And I got so cynical, I said, you know, but what about the strike? And you know what? So I'm out. I know what my heart is. I know that I go to gay weddings. I don't care about
paper
anything.
Paper or plastic, I think, is the important question of that whole story.
By the way, so the point is, I'm out. And by the way, his favorite, you know what I have faith in now?
What?
No kidding. This. Comedy.
Yeah.
This.
Well, it is
friendship.
The common. I mean, it does bring you to, when you can laugh, because
it's deeper than anything else I know.
I sort of knew, but I didn't exactly know your politics. And I was like, I don't care. I love him.
Yeah, but you know
our
what?
Our common language is comedy.
But the truth is, I've left the building.
Yes.
And I have no idea what's real anymore. Okay,
well,
we're bombing here. Is that good?
Look, I think we're all disgusted with this, you know, this looming shutdown. I mean, it's
I just don't have the slightest.
Yeah.
Every time I've done so many benefits.
Although, may I just say it's all the Republicans' fault that.
Listen, you know what?
Let me tell you something.
Hang on a second.
Yes.
I just want to tell you, I've done so many benefits with folks, you know, I don't even want to name, where they backstage say to me, look, I don't understand politics. And people you would like who just lean over with kind of a leer and just say, well, it's just show business, just like you. And it gives me such a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
And I want to say, you know what? Let's not talk anymore on this. So I'm out. And by the way, I know what's right. You and I would agree on 7 out of 8,
right,
or whatever the main things are.
Well, I love and am related to many Republicans, so listen, and they're the extra crispy bucket of Republicans.
No, you know what? I'm out, and I'm a comic, and that's that. And I'll tell you something, by the way, as far as the plastic and the paper bags go, my wife had got 6 recycled bags now from Whole Foods. With a charity painted on the side for $18
sure.
a piece. And she said, the plastic bags are killing us. And I said, fine with me, whatever you say. And there's just one tiny problem. So far, neither of us can remember to take the 6 bags.
Yes, and then you get to the store and you're like, oh.
So we still walk past with the 10 plastic death bags.
I have about 100 of those bags in my trunk. And I still forget to bring them.
Give him some.
You know what? So, but at any rate.
And are you still best friends with Jerry Seinfeld, I have to ask?
You know, it's friends, yes. I mean, the point is, it's...
Who is Larry Miller?
Is that what he's like on the phone?
I've never...
Who is this? Larry.
See, that's what I meant about impressions before, when they're really good. It's actually say, well, that sounds like the guy. But
you're wearing a puffy shirt!
All I know is that it's friends. When people used to, when the show was really hot, and magazines would call up and just say, so you had breakfast today with the families. What happened? We had eggs. I don't know. What do you want? I can't help you. I don't know what you need me to say.
I had eggs with him before he had a show.
It was very controversial. We talked. We laughed about something. I think it was the napkin. I can't remember. You know, it's friends. If you go to a movie, we'll go to a movie. So it's to me, I don't understand.
And any of us, two comedians that have breakfast together, it's just annoying. No one else would want to be there. It's just jokes about the napkins and, you know.
Writing jokes on the napkins.
Yes, and trying to make it seem like you're having conversation when you're trying out material on each other. It's annoying.
Yeah, you and I on that plane flight.
Yes,
know,
we went into
laugh
our...
About any... Once we finally looked at each other.
Right.
29 minutes after the hour, back with more with comedian Larry Miller on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Alone, you know where to find the boys and the boobs.
Yeah, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Comedian Larry Miller live in studio with us. Dan in Madison with an update on the recalls. Hi, Dan.
Hey, good morning. It's Dan, the official pianist calling from Madison.
Excuse me?
We have a an update, two things actually here. The papers for recall are officially going to be submitted today to recall Senator Randy Bedhopper. So that one is
is he the one that's having the affair, or is that just another is that his actual name?
Yeah, no, well, no, it's Randy Hopper, but his nickname is Ben.
Oh, I get it.
He's with the 25-year-old mistress who landed a state job without really applying. But
whose wife is going to sign the recall?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
The only thing that I think is hugely important, I think a follow-up to what you guys were talking about before, is that there are websites and activity that's ongoing. It's not as though Tuesday came and went and we're going to slow the momentum down. There is already a website up and going, UnitedWisconsin.com, already has 180,000 people who have pledged their information and have signed up basically to build a database so that once November comes around to start the recall petitions, they know that they can be contacted immediately for a signature. So it's going to speed that whole process up. So this is ongoing. People are motivated beyond whatever seen ever before.
Oh, absolutely. Funny you should mention that. We're going to have a very exciting announcement regarding Madison tomorrow, so stay tuned. You won't want to miss that. We're familiar with that website, let's just say. Oh, all right. By the way, Paula writes, Steph, I've looked many times and have never had seen a hint of a smile or a frown on Scott Walker's face. It's the weirdest thing. The next
Botox?
It's kind of true. I've never seen, as an actor, I've never seen him make any facial expressions, Governor Walker. Yeah.
First of all, I have a theory about politics in general. People like us are supposed to be the lunatics of the world.
Yes.
I mean, comics, writers, performers, directors, all kinds of performing
people. I'm
doing my part,
yes.
Well, but we're supposed to be the nuts of the world.
Yeah.
And I don't think we are. I meet, very solid people who are looking for the next job, trying to make the next show, get the next thing out there. To me, the lunatics of the world, anyone who looks in the mirror in the morning and thinks, maybe I'll lead. Yes. And then I'll be the leader. And then everyone will follow because I'm leading.
Yeah, we don't have the self-esteem of Michelle Bachmann to go, yes, clearly I am the most qualified person to be leader of the free world.
I bought that the guy's name was Bedhopper. I'm too stupid to have, like when he said, yes, the Congressman Bedhopper, whatever it is, which is probably better than Bedwetter, by the way.
Yes.
He used to be Bedwetter, then he had a change to Bedhopper.
Right.
But I don't get it. At that moment, by the way, what's his name? Spitzer's picture was up on the screen because he was on a show.
There's no Parker anymore.
And I don't get it. I swear I don't get it. Oh, remember the other guy, Sanford? They're out of their minds.
Yes.
When they say, no, you don't understand. This is love. Oh, shut up. It's so stupid. Just stop it. Go away. Go back to the Adirondack Trail. Do something. But just stop speaking.
Now, what do you think of the whole Glenn Beck?
You know what? I don't get. I've listened. I don't get it. I mean, get it on a level of us.
Yeah.
I don't get it when the words don't seem to come together. I don't know even what is being said. I just think this is not entertaining to me.
Just yesterday, he said maybe Obama decided to try the suspects at Gitmo to inflame the Islamic world.
Right.
He wanted to try the Republicans.
By the way, if this weren't radio, you could just see my mouth is open. I don't even know. I don't have the slightest idea what to say.
Then he somehow linked 9/11 to the Wisconsin election. And he smeared students protesting in Madison as Lenin's useful idiots. That was just yesterday.
John, but Vladimir.
You know what?
Yes.
Again, you might as well be speaking Martian to me because I don't get it. When I've listened to shows, I don't get what he or people are saying.
But Glenn Beck
every time we play a Glenn Beck soundbite in Right Wing World, Jim inevitably will go, what? Like you have to decode it before you can even critique it or not. You're like, what? Huh?
On this chalkboard, I have a picture of Marx. Not Groucho, not Chico, not Zeppo. But Gummo, which proves, since I have an arrow pointing towards Hitler, that Obama is a Kenyan Marxist Nazi.
By the way, I'm telling you, though, it makes no sense to me. This does not live in a left-right world to me.
Yeah.
To me, this lives in a world of, whenever I see a commercial, I don't get, when banks buy each other, I don't get, because they always say, WAMU, now part of Chase. Is that okay? Is it okay when they buy each other? Well, Wachovia, now part of Wells Fargo. To me, that just sounds like Poland, now part of Germany.
Yes.
And I don't get it's okay then. So they're
right.
Just part. So they're okay? Yes. Why? They love it. Are you sure? They seem so angry. So, again, that's the level it lives on for me. I walk away. I do the Vegas dealer clap.
Let me ask you something, because you're a showbiz veteran that's had TV shows canceled. When they say, hang on a second, Fox blah, 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 is proud to announce they will work together on future projects. Is that ever true?
Wow. You know, and I know, and everyone listening knows, and Chris and Jim knows,
yes.
That's another... As far the only way I know is that's another case of here's your hat, what's your hurry?
Well, I love this part. I look forward to starting this new phase of our partnership.
Sure,
the phase where you don't have a television show anymore.
I think the translation of that is if I ever get my hands around your neck, you know what? I don't know. I know what we're doing. What we do. I know how to come here and be funny with you.
Sure.
And past that, wow! I look at these folks and think. Someone's crazy here,
right?
And it may be me.
Well, I brought up that crazy Michelle Bachmann, who, in my opinion, because you're a smart man, whatever your politics were or are or will be, I mean, how can you have someone be president that thinks Plymouth Rock is in New Hampshire and battles of Concord and...
Again, you're talking to someone who turns it off whenever it comes on. You're talking to someone, I come home at night, either you take kids to a practice or something, come home, I want to sit downstairs at the bar and get quietly hammered. I just sit there, I don't bother anyone.
See, that's what we agree on.
I've got a book, I sit there and read it.
We got quietly hammered together on the plane, as
that's
I recall.
Right. By the way, that's why, because once I turned, so it was you, and I went, oh, good Lord, Steph! That's when I think I just said to the flight attendant, you know what, I think I will have something. Give me a glass with something brown in it. Two or three of those brown bottles.
Whatever's brown. Tim in Madison, you're on with Larry Miller. Hi, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, listening to Scott Walker yesterday during his little, Madison is a completely separate part of the state compared to everyone else, and listening to him go... He's a mouth breather like you will not believe. Maybe that's why he can't make any facial expressions.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I'm just saying, either one, a comedy or a tragedy mask would be fine, something.
I think all these folks, when they smile, again, when I've met folks or when you see them on the ads, I didn't know. There was the woman who ran for governor.
Which state?
Here, the...
Meg Whitman.
Meg Whitman.
Right. Now, I don't know the woman.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, when she smiled, I remember thinking, it was like an alien handbook that says, here's how to smile, and this will sometimes put them at their ease.
This will make humans think...
It's a cookbook!
That you've come in peace.
That's right. It turned the corners up, but I don't... Again, that's why, you know what, I'm out... I'm glad when friends like you are in and you say, here's this thing, fine with me. But all I know is after I leave here today, I'm going to go back and write. I'm going to keep moving forward not only in the cocktails, the podcast, new acting jobs. And you know what? The rest is, as long as everyone gets in that house,
How old are your kids now?
I don't know.
What
the
sort
point
of...
is that,
what's important
down?
Is my family. How old are they?
Fine.
I don't know.
You know what, one of them, this is actually a door, one of them is at the, and by the way, I have a thing where I wish parents, in a way, would talk about their kids less, because there's a certain world level of, hey, you want to see a picture of my kids, and I always want to say, truth? No, I really don't, because, do you like them? Because if you like them, that's fine with me. I tell you what, let's make a deal, you like yours, and I'll like mine, how about that? And I don't need to see, is that a beautiful kid or what? No, it's not, okay? It's a kid. Do you like the kid? That's fine.
I thought it was a bonobo. Sorry.
It's, either way, as long as you're happy, I'm happy. One of our kids is at that point where the voices are changing, and he is on a baseball team, and it's like women hanging out together and getting on the same cycle. They all like have a 5-month window where they're all in the and it's very cute because they were in. They're also at that age. They're into the "that's what she said" jokes. They never appealed to me really, even as a kid. "That's what she said" onto anything.
The actress to the bishop.
Right, you know, that just the this ice cream is melted. That's what she said. You know, it just doesn't even need to make sense.
Right.
But at that age, for 12-year-olds, it's perfect. So they were in the batting cage with, and I heard one of them say, it doesn't matter who it is because you can't recognize the voices, and one of them said, this bat is rusty. And then another one said,
"That's what she said."
That's what she said. And then then they all went. it was very cute. But so but again, I have this new, it's like a new campaign of, you like your kids, I like mine.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't need to, hey, guess what my kid did today? Wow, really? You know what? How about, no.
I can barely pretend to care what my kids are doing.
Does this look infected
to
you?
I be expected to care about what your kids are
doing?
Why
don't we just get another drink here and deal with that, and I'll read the paper and you can sit there.
Have to make a confession. I do sometimes just to ask my friends just to be polite. I just, and then you're doing something else. How's Largen Frizen's thing going?
Well, that's the thing, though. Again, I'm just not sure in the 14th century people said, let me tell you what Bobby did today. It just doesn't feel like it was culturally correct. You have 37 kids.
People fake caring about other people's kids more than orgasm. I really do. Wow, really? That's kind of camp. Well, that's a special sort of camp then. That's good.
There's one thing I can tell you, by the way, that is absolutely true. There's a difference, and you might not have run into this, but I can tell you there is a difference between Little League and football, and that you might not have run into. That there is, and this football, helmets, pad, football, Pop Warner football.
Yeah.
And one kid plays this, one kid plays the other. And in Little League, it won't surprise you hear conversations, people leaning against the fence, like parents, and you hear conversations like, the new Lexus parks itself. Really? Interesting. And that's Little League. And before the first practice of football, this is one of my kids, this is his fifth year, he's played for the East Valley Trojans. They're good. They play football. But the difference between there is two parents are leaning on the fence. My wife and I walked by, and one said to the other, but they're charging him as an adult. And I turned to my wife and said, well, it's good to be back in football.
Conversations are much more interesting. My perception as a non-parent, they're just little germ wagons. That's all I know from my friends is they're either
their kid
is sick or they're sick from their kid. But either way, your plans are canceled.
You're not wrong. You know what? And I that's why this kind of is like a fake level of, I found this thing where if like six or seven are sitting, with like a Jerry's Deli or something with my wife and her friend and another friend or something, but they're really unruly and they're really rowdy.
Right.
I've found a thing where I lean over, and this may be a good tip for others out there, because they can't be controlled. And I always lean over and I whisper, I say, why don't you come over here for a second? And I always say, now, as you know, I've got a 2x4 in my trunk with a nail in it. And I'm going to get that and bring it in here, and I'm going to beat you on the heads so much that your brains will be indistinguishable from the chili fries you haven't eaten. And when I say that, they laugh, and they go, ha-ha-ha-ha.
You're like, no, I'm not kidding.
No,
but once they laugh like that, they go, ha-ha-ha-ha. They actually quiet down.
Your point made. And then, 46 minutes after the hour. He looks like a nice guy, but he's not. 46 minutes after the hour, right back with comedian Larry Miller on The Stephanie Miller Show.
What's all that noise?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour, live in studio with comedian Larry Miller. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Are you kidding me, news? There is another earthquake in Japan, 7.4, with a tsunami warning.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
It's very believable.
This poor
fire is waking up.
Wow, this poor country, dear God. I mean, just that it's you. Literally think. I mean, it is obviously not funny, but you think is really seriously Godzilla about to rise out of the Sea of Japan. This is.
You know what? There was some.
This
sense,
isn't something I've seen in my lifetime. That's real. You know?
I know, but I on some level I knew for like the last 20 years that Japan, I think, has the most earthquakes in the world,
right.
or that it's
right.
that island is right on a bullseye somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand a lot about earthquakes, but I know that.
And I love the nuclear plant. They said was not designed to survive a tsunami. And as Jim said, it's a Japanese word. You'd think they're obviously prone to tsunamis, but not of, you know, of this size, I guess.
That's right. By the way, when we do move from one word to the other, you know, there's like one the. Everyone in the media sort of agrees. When we moved somewhere from tidal wave to tsunami, you know,
yes.
There was like a one-month period where suddenly everyone, well, the tsunami, what happened to tidal wave? It's fine with me.
Right.
But we just move. It's like moving from spaghetti to pasta, you know, or something. There's like an agreement of, or Brill Cream to Moose, you know, there's like.
Yes, when did we stop calling it this? And it's that now.
I think tidal wave sounds like Gidget on the beach. Hey, how you doing?
That sounds like fun. Yeah.
Oh, or we move from rubber to condom. You know,
exactly.
Like overnight.
Yeah, when was that okay?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And now the old word sounds so odd. To hear a word like rubber is just, what? Is it really rubber?
Rubber.
It sounds
what?
So antique and gross.
And dirty. Yeah, dirtier.
The rubber, ooh. Yeah.
All right, the president on the looming shutdown in
Washington. I do not want to see Washington politics stand in the way of America's progress.
Yes, well, fortunately, nobody in D.C. is playing politics, for sure. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, buddy.
Hey, beautiful. Hey, it's an honor to be on with the high-powered professional, Mr. Miller.
Yes.
Who had the greatest single line ever in a movie. From Pretty Woman, you want sucking up, I can do sucking up.
Thanks, pal.
Yeah. Hey, Mama, can I rant for about 30 seconds?
Sure, go.
I am so furious. When I turn on, I see these Republicans, and they're all upset about the deficit and the debt. Where were these son of a bitches when George Bush was spending $600,000 a minute in borrowed money from China on an unneeded war in Iraq?
Yep.
Did you hear word one from them? Hell no. And you look at these cuts and how cruel and mean they are. Old people, poor people, sick people. Teachers, education, you know, they're going, and the debt's just an excuse for these guys to get after some really good programs. I mean, if you want to, like, screw yourself, say, hey, I'm going to cut education and help for the kids, and then our economy of our state's going to grow. What part of that don't you get?
Yeah. Well, Jim, you'll love this line. Democratic officials suggested their side had agreed to consider additional cuts in the previous 24 hours. I mean, how much more can we bend over on this? You know, I mean, it's Larry, I know you don't want to get into politics, but in this, I mean, first of all, we've all had a negotiation, right? A car, a house, or whatever. The president's agreed to the amount of cuts that they asked for in the beginning, and now that's still not enough. How is that not playing politics?
Again, this is why I live in the world of you got me. I mean, if whatever you say you're into it. I don't understand how, first of all, no one seems to agree on, whether it's in the state of California, these numbers get too big. I don't understand them. Billions? Trillions?
Yeah.
I mean, when they say, no, we're this much in debt, say, in California.
Well, California, we have this ridiculous proposition system where they ask us everything, and we don't know what the hell we're doing. Free ponies and ice cream? We all vote yes.
Would
you like to raise this tax to pay for it? No.
But that's why you want to say to people, I know when the proposition thing came in. I remember when Schwarzenegger first ran for governor. By the way, to show you, if this makes at all sense to you, where I stand politically, you know who I voted for in that race?
Mm.
Angeline. And you know why? The truth, because remember at the time, no, I had worked with her in one of the Steve Martin movies, and the point is, in L.A. Story, but the point is that to me, I have so little regard or so little understanding of any of these folks.
Yeah.
That, remember, that was the year when in California, and Gary Coleman was running too, that
That's
you
right.
could, and I thought maybe it would make her feel better in life.
Yeah, at least she beat Gary Coleman.
Well, or if she got like 87 votes or something.
Yeah.
And to me, that was the clearest, it's not a protest vote, it's a, you know what, go on your merry way vote. And I don't understand.
And as it turns out, we should have voted for Arianna Huffington because now she could just buy California and just pay it all off. See?
Well, I ran for them a bunch. She's got quite a thing. But again, I live in the you got me world. If you say,
This is not, well, you know, as you know, my dad was in politics. I just don't recognize this. You know, Harry Reid said Democrats kept offering concessions, Republicans kept rejecting them. We met them halfway, they said no. We meet them more than halfway, they still say no. We meet them all the way, they still say no. If Republicans are really worried about keeping the government running, all they have to do is say yes. But I think they really are not interested in saying yes. I mean, it really looks like they want a shutdown. And you just think, how does that make sense for anybody?
At the same time, they're blaming the Democrats for wanting a shutdown.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, when they've got these teabaggers outside yelling, shut her down! Shut her down! Literally yesterday, again, with the teabaggers outside. So this interim measure that I guess Boehner is putting forward, it's designed to place the onus on the Democratic-controlled Senate to act if a shutdown is to be avoided. And this is only something to be good for, like, a week again. I mean, it seems like I agree with you on that. The wheels have come off our democracy entirely.
I just stand open-mouthed at everything going on. I work in Washington a lot, by the way, and, well, I guess like as any city. But usually the first line, whether it's a theater or there's an improv, that's a good club, the D.C. Improv. But I always look at people and say, so are you guys in this thing? I mean, are you on a committee? Is anybody here? Is it an industry town?
Do any of you have real jobs?
Yeah.
LarryMillerHumor.com is the website. Larry Miller is the man, and he is delightful. And you can find all things Larry Miller related there. I love you, honey. See you on a plane.
See you on a plane somewhere.
There he goes. Larry Miller. 58 minutes after the hour. Back next with Carlos Alzraki on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. Big announcement tomorrow on the big show. Don't miss it. What? It's a comedy extravaganza this morning. Why? Who's that at the door?
Well, hello, Stephanie. It's your old voiceover guy. Hello. No.
Oh, you fat bitch.
Carlos Alzraki, a comedian, right. Voice guy extraordinaire. Best known, of course, from Reno 911. But I love that people think I'm this old that they have to actually put on my sheet. He was the original voice guy on the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm like, that's where I know him.
I know you from some. We rode the bus. On Jefferson Avenue. Wait a minute, you were on my show. Yes, that's it.
You're the old cat lady.
You were the Taco Bell Chihuahua when we worked together.
Viva gorditas. I think I'm in love. Wouldn't it be ironic if the voice of the new Taco Bell Chihuahua was Gilbert Gottfried?
I think I need more Taco Bell. I think I need a bigger box. Here, listen.
By the way, there's been another earthquake and tsunami warning in Japan.
7.4. Oh, my gosh. There's four folks.
Yikes. So let's hope that someone has killed Gilbert's Twitter feed this morning. So
No. Zip. Nip it.
Zip.
Zip it. Get rid of it.
Carlos.
Yes.
Fairly Odd Parents. Rocco on Rocco's Modern Life. Jonathan Weed on Family Guy.
Mr. Weed, you're fired, Peter. I have quite a resume. Yes. I should be working more. What's going on?
Exactly.
Come on, Hollywood. And of course,
we know, and for people that don't know, we know Jim Ward through Carlos Alzraki. Yeah.
That's right.
Jim used to fill in for you when you were, and then, you know, we...
I met him at VoiceOver Jedi Camp.
My time here is done, young warrior.
And Mr. Ward took over and never looked back.
Obi-Wan has taught you well.
That's right.
And you're doing a new thing with Jim. What are you
doing?
I'm doing
a new thing. Well, you know, it's called Randy the Vegetarian Zombie, or Meet Randy. And we've posted it on YouTube, and we're going to put it on your site. And we think we could turn this into a musical, like Reanimator, the musical at the Steve Allen Theater. Wow. It has that type of feel to it. It's very campy, and it's about Randy in a post-apocalyptic world where zombies are being adopted because, as Martin Dorchester, played by Jim Ward, would say, it's all the rage, right?
It's all the rage, actually.
To get a zombie child.
Zombies, zombie children.
And
that's de rigueur.
We find out that...
He's so good at being a pretentious actor.
Yeah, and doesn't have to stretch. But Randy has some capabilities because he's vegetarian. He's not quite a zombie and he's not quite human, so he can do menial jobs like teaching student drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Much like his parents, he becomes an alcoholic because he's surrounded by them and he has to join AA and he has a big brother named Tony who's in the mob. It's kind of like Curious George. He goes on some fun adventures and people seem to like it on the YouTubes.
Yep.
Cool. Well, we will.
More popular.
We will lay.
Put it on your site.
Since Jim Ward's here every day, I'm sure we will
hear
about more about
Jim is brilliant, along with Tara Strong and Ben Begley as Randy, myself, several of Alex Padilla. Great mm-hmm. crew. Great. See it. It's fun. Hi, I'm on the camera. How are you?
Yeah, we're on the Ustream. There he is, the beautiful and talented Carlos Alvarado.
I'm like an old friend. Well, Ustream.
Can I get...
Do I have to do a hand wash or hand sanitizer?
Still my favorite routine that you do. The, you know, the old woman with the poodle.
Oh, muffin, Triscuit, gold Triscuit. Oh, I thought you meant, here, boxcar, here, popcorn.
Oh, no, that's old cat lady. No, I mean...
Here, yep. Twilight.
Twilight.
Here, boxcar. Daddy.
Twilight.
Where's mommy's little shoelace? Come, popcorn. That's right. Frisky time. Frisky. Help mommy.
Twilight.
I believe that was the woman that died of it.
Yeah.
She's allergic
to cats.
She had a lot of
Twilight before there was Twilight. But yeah. Much going on.
Politics? You talk politics in
I'm
your...
I'm talking politics. Let's just put it this way. Kloppenberg in my office. I love that name.
Kloppenberg?
It sounds like a law firm. Kloppenberg and Prosser.
I'll get the phone, you bitch!
It's my turn. Shut up!
Prosser here, what do you want? Kloppenberg, get in here. It's good news. Either way, if the recount goes fishy and something happens, it's still good news that the numbers changed so substantially from 3 months previous. And let's just say
he was winning by 30 points. Something is happening. Let's get Lori in Chicago on that real quick. Hey, Lori.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Regarding Walker and blaming Madison for Prosser's defeat, you know, the one thing that is not getting mentioned a lot is that 19 counties in Wisconsin flipped. They voted GOP in November and voted for Kloppenberg
Lori,
on Tuesday.
That's a great point. I mean, just when you think he can't find any more ways to divide people in Wisconsin, he pits Madison against the rest of the state.
Stephanie, a key county, I grew up just south of it, Ashland County, a very rural county in far northern Wisconsin. The county seat is a town of about 8,000 people. That county went for Kloppenberg 70-30.
Yep. It is the tipping point, and a very exciting announcement regarding Madison tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Next Groundhog Day, actually, he tries to do the Lambeau leap and actually gets attacked by a badger. A real Wisconsin badger at Lambeau Field. Scott Walker, we have the news right now. He's in the end zone being mauled.
It actually, as depressing as the time as it is in politics in a lot of ways, it is exciting.
It is exciting.
They have awoken a sleeping giant. It's like all of these Republican governors. When have you seen that? They would all lose. The election was today. They've only been in for, a couple of months when their numbers flipped completely.
There's something to be said for unrighteous, false anger, and I think that's what you have on the right. As for some reason, my TV was tuned to Fox News. I think my roommate watches The Enemy, and... there's a different hue to that channel. Like the blues and the reds and the font, it's like a cereal box. It's like, you know, now with fun facts and Retson.
Yeah.
It's
too busy.
And then Dennis Miller pops on, and I don't know what he was saying, but he looked bloated and angry for no reason.
And you know who does the best acting job is Bill O'Reilly on that channel, because he laughs and you tell he has no idea what Dennis Miller's saying.
No idea what you're saying.
They look angry about nothing.
You're nuts.
Yeah, it's like Louis C.K.'s bit. It's like, if you're white, you really can't be angry. It's the best thing in the world is to be white, and I'm sorry, you know, you're white and rich, I don't buy your anger.
It's the old George Carlin routine, House of Blues. What do white people have to be blue about?
Exactly. I don't know.
You can afford to eat at the House of Blues. It's not a House of Blues.
It just looks like Dennis Miller couldn't compete with the Colberts and the John Stewarts of the world. You know what? I'm going right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a market for me.
Stick.
I get a sense that he doesn't believe what he's saying. That's all I know. I don't listen to him. I'm like Larry. I turn it off. I see it. He's angry for no reason. I'm turning the channel. ESPN.
Yep.
But, Wisconsin has good news.
And the president yesterday...
Some folks are trying to inject politics in what should be a simple debate about how to pay our bills.
Yeah, it's clearly it's like the same as in Wisconsin. It's clearly just about politics at this point. It isn't about a budget anymore in Washington or in Wisconsin. It's about politics. It's about defeating the president. It's about
destroying the unions.
Yeah,
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
The number one contributor to the Democratic Party's campaign funds. Yeah, it's I'm losing my train of thought. I'm so angry. It's, yeah, it never was about the budget.
Yep.
It was about destroying unions.
Well, here's, by the way, you used to do, I remember Pat Robertson before Jim did Pat Robertson on our show.
I did.
Could you take your organ out, please? They've, if it's possible, the religious people have gotten crazier. Steph, this is from Julie. According to TV preacher wife Cindy Jacobs, do you know this one? I haven't seen her.
Not
guess
familiar.
Who caused the tsunami in Japan?
Uh-oh.
The gays.
Of course.
They did the...
Here we go again.
It was the hurricanes in Miami before, wasn't it?
Yes.
They were everywhere.
Let's see. Julie says, I had to go look at another one of her videos on how a vortex of probably gay demons are keeping her and her husband from bilking their followers out of the cash she needs to buy leopard print suits, shiny, ginormous, shiny bead necklaces, and file net. Cindy Jacobs. Oh, of the General's International Ministry caught a lot of heat earlier this year when she blamed mass bird deaths on the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Sure.
But she stands by her statement now saying repeal also caused the tsunami and the earthquakes in Japan as well.
That's not what I saw in the last Airbender. They were straight.
Cindy and Mike Jacobs discuss how their ministry, Generals International, has come under attack by several demonic vortexes that are preventing them from receiving the funding they need.
It's the demonic vortexes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're my favorite
band. I think
you
can get those at Best Buy. Hook right up to your laptop. Yeah. Speaking of gays, Chris heard about this a couple of days ago, and I thought I was late to the ball on the gay caveman discovery in Prague. 5,000-year-old gay caveman.
How did they know he was gay?
Because he had a Judy Garland album.
Really?
Yes, obviously.
I think you're just
and he was redecorating his tomb.
So he was not interested in big American breasts.
No, he was buried this is what the article said. Instead of being buried with hammers like most men, he was buried with jugs, and his head was facing east, and so clearly he was gay. He's got jugs and he's facing east. Which brings me to my lame comedy bit about maybe there were gay cavemen. And why are ghosts always masculine, angry ghosts?
That's true.
This is a place of evil or angry Japanese kids with black eyes. It's never a gay ghost. Boo! Organize your closet. Plant a garden.
Art in Tucson on Carlos on Reno 911. Hi, Art.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's
good
Art,
morning.
The official drama teacher of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey. Hello there.
Carlos, I have to tell you, you said one of the funniest lines ever on TV, and I've rewatched it far more times than is healthy. It is you and Junior are talking to the giant cup, and they tell you, you look like a couple of butt darts. And you just, the way you say, we look like butt darts, just kills me. Could you possibly say that for me now?
Oh, I don't even remember the episode, but I like, wait, we look like butt darts?
That's it.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
All right, that guy's, he's less than
that. I have a fan. Thank you. Butt darts.
Breaking news out of Japan, the first wave of the tsunami has hit Japan. TEPCO has evacuated workers at the Fukushima plant. This is just, not a movie. Real. Second earthquake, second tsunami hitting Japan right now. Unbelievable. All right. We will be back more with live Carlos Alzraki, live in studio with us all hour. 18 minutes after the hour, back with more with comedian Carlos Alzraki on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Side effects may include loss of clothing, rug burn, shortness of breath, and sore abdominals the next morning. What in the world is up?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Carlos Alzraki, actor, comedian extraordinaire,
that's
in studio
right.
With us.
The
our
CBO analysis on Paul Ryan's budget.
Lukewarm.
Old people paying more in the future.
Yeah, I was saying earlier, if one more person says this is a serious plan, it's like, see, it is seriously awful.
Yeah.
But how is it serious?
I won the Mega Millions lottery. Now it can buy a pain medicine.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Paul Ryan.
And by the way, I have a question, Jim. Why do Republicans hate the troops so much that they don't want them to get paid if the government shuts down?
Yeah.
Remember when we were troop haters because we were against the illegal and unnecessary war in Iraq? Remember that?
But they don't need to get paid.
Yeah. Let's see. They're in danger in Afghanistan. I'm really wacky, right? Let's burn a Koran. Yeah, that'll help the troops.
Oh, boy. All right. The president yesterday trying to, he called me, they were like late last night at the White House. Really? Yeah.
They're stuffing all kinds of issues in there, abortion and the environment and health care. You know, they're time to have those discussions, but that time's not now.
Yeah, exactly, because we're talking, he was talking about by Saturday, we would be...
If we don't reach common ground by Saturday, the federal government shuts down.
That would affect 800,000 federal employees, experts predicting a significant impact on our economic momentum.
Well, John Boehner's all about the jobs.
Boehner already said that. What did Boehner say? If they lose their jobs, go ahead, Jim.
So be it. So be it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some moderate
cavers.
He's the weepiest man I have ever seen.
Maybe they can work at the tanning salon. Discount me on my beds.
16 Senate moderates, moderate Democratic senators sent him a letter saying some members within your caucus continue to seek sustained confrontation and are interested in shutting down the government as a misguided sign that they're serious about debt reduction. Knowing that a bipartisan deal is within reach to cut tens of billions of dollars from current funding levels, it would be irresponsible to shut down the government and punish our constituents solely to make a political point. I mean, it's that drunk guy in a bar that just wants a fight, right? He doesn't want it. He does not want to resolve anything.
If they do shut down the government, can we forget about caving to the Republicans anymore? I mean, you can't. There is no negotiation with them.
Yeah, I mean,
you give them an inch, they take a light year. You know, it's and even that's not enough.
It's the Popeye episode. We accept it. We reject it. We accept it. We reject it.
Yeah, Harry Reid was almost mad.
There's a time to be partisans and a time to be partners. We stand here with fewer than 72 hours on the clock. It's time to get to work. It's time to get the job done.
Well, he couldn't make grandkids go to sleep.
Yeah.
He says, time to take your nap. It's time to break. Shut up! Okay, I tried.
Wow.
Grandma, I can't do anything with them.
You will eat your vegetables.
He's the missing link. He's a spineless fish creature.
Senator Barbara Mikulski yesterday.
I know you're working on that cure for cancer. I know you're working on that cure for Alzheimer's or autism or arthritis. But you know what? Washington, the Congress, says you're non-essential.
Wow. Did you see a noted steroid user and car thief and insurance defrauder, Joel Issa? He said not his department. His staff investigating the president, they're going to keep running, even if there's a shutdown.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He says that's he'll use his congressional prerogative to keep his house oversight and government reform committee staff at work. He tweeted, if the government shuts down, we won't. I believe those who choose to come into work under my constitutional arm, accountability must continue. So that's critical, is continuing to investigate the president for nothing.
I will carry on, and my hair will continue to say Eddie Munster Black.
Yeah.
It's not hair dye.
How many cars does he have to steal to keep the government running for that project?
The Boehner history.
The president isn't leading. He didn't lead on last year's budget, and he clearly is not leading on this year's budget.
Larry.
Do you think that's a drinking thing, Carlos? We were talking about his inability to sort of regulate his facial expressions. Like, he doesn't really seem to have control of his own caucus or his own face.
I think he has one eye open in the tanning beds. He's looking out for somebody to come and, like, shank him. So that's why he's
Eric Cantor.
Yeah, he's got one eye open, one go.
Yeah, he's...
I accidentally turned it up to a million.
I think
Boehner... smell? A burnt orange.
I think Boehner spent some time at that 19th hole. Yeah, he looks kind of sweaty and drunky.
Yeah, shiny, exactly. The bone.
And they had a lot of very good ideas, and yet the president used none of his own Deficit Reduction Commission's ideas in his own budget.
He agreed to the exact cuts you asked for.
They want more.
This is not enough.
Chris Matthews had a nice topic coverage of the whole Planned Parenthood about how the abortions occur in a separate building. They're not funded. The Hyde Amendment prevents funding of abortions, and yet they Pence is the guy. Mike Pence
is
carrying on about how could I never got that dichotomy of birth control versus Planned Parenthood. It's like if you want less abortions, you should support birth control.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. The Boehner again.
Republicans have no interest in shutting down the government.
No, we're doing everything we can to
negotiate.
We just
want to keep it open and say no.
No interest in it. We just have no interest in it.
The Republicans have no interest in shutting down the pub. I mean, the government.
Government.
Last call.
Senator Mitch McLiplis.
They can't blame anyone but themselves if a shutdown does occur because they've done nothing whatsoever to prevent it.
They've only bent over backwards so far that they're standing on their heads.
29.
Which I can't do, being a turtle.
He can't bend at all.
I don't like it.
29 minutes after the hour, right back with Carlos Ezraki on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Women now using Preparation H suppositories should switch to
Stephanie Miller.
I don't know about that. 34 is after the hour. 1-800.
Well, you're squishy again, so maybe.
Yeah. 1-800. That's my girlhood is back. Carlos, that's the big news today.
Oh, good. How'd it happen?
I don't know. Well, I think it was Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Oh, okay.
I can attest to his virility because I could have his child now. All right, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. And no, I did not have to blow a lot of dust off that box. Thank you, Chris.
Would you do it the old-fashioned way?
That box?
Of girl products. Dr. Leakey.
Dr. Leakey, we discovered.
Dave in Orange County, go ahead. Hi, Dave.
You're killing me, Steph. You're killing me.
Yes.
Hey, if they shut down the government, I just want to know, does that mean that Al-Qaeda and the terrorists and all the illegals that are coming over the border, they all take a break?
Yeah, no, exactly. No, it means the terrorists win. Thank you, Republicans. Thank you once again.
Unfortunately, the National Guard is off somewhere guarding someone else's nation, so.
Yeah, exactly. Mary
come
in
California.
Yeah, come on in. Mary in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi.
Hi, Steph. I just have a very quick comment. I've thought about this for a long time, and with the insurance companies talking about, many insurance companies don't supply birth control, and now they want to cut off funding to Planned Parenthood. These are the same people who don't mind funding Viagra for men, yet they always want to cut off birth control and family planning for women.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. We had a little feminist frenzy there. Pardon me, Carlos.
Don't they have, like, birth control shows, like gun shows, where you can just go to somebody's garage and just buy it?
They should have birth control shows. Yeah.
What the heck?
It's like a Tupperware party, but yeah, sure.
I'm going to hand them out for Halloween. Mm. Here you go, kids.
Can I have a 30-round clip with that?
Yeah. Maybe you can answer. Maybe you understand the Cialis commercials better than Jim and I do. We don't understand them. I don't understand. Isn't it more like an acid trip?
Yeah. More than 4 hours.
Yeah, when your kitchen turns into a forest,
yeah,
you know, you get aroused.
It happens all the time.
Yeah, I'd go after an owl in that situation. My kitchen just turned into a forest. Who are you? Interspecies love is what I'm talking about.
And I guess doing the laundry turns out in some couples. I don't know why.
Shouldn't it be one big hot tub instead of two clawfoot tubs?
Yes. It seems to beat the whole purpose. Yeah. You can't
like
really
Dick
get
Van
busy
Dyke.
In side-by-side tubs.
Like Rod Pepper.
Yes.
Boy, I'll tell you, last night was super. I leaned over and I touched pickles. Wow. Who does Maury Amsterdam? That's
just
why
you.
I'm popular on the voiceover circuit.
Well, not anymore.
Well, you need somebody that does a Maury Amsterdam.
Maury
touring
Maury
colleges.
Amsterdam.
That's right. Hey. Me and John Boehner went last. Oh, boy, did we tie one on.
Not enough lateral S's anymore.
That's right.
You think Dancing with the Stars is good? You should have seen the Republican hopefuls dancing around the Paul Ryan budget. They called it serious. It's serious.
Well,
not really endorsing it.
Jetson, get in here. This is serious.
CBO didn't like it that much.
Yeah. Oh, Governor Palin, that's if you want to know what's serious, you have to check her Twitter posting. There is hope. Serious and necessary leadership rolls out serious and necessary reform proposal.
Blah, blah, blah. Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
What? Serious. That's the catchphrase for his awful
I would
budget.
Go see Herb Bachman and Charlie Sheen, though. That would be a great show.
These are my goddesses, my political goddesses.
Have you, as a professional comedian, what do you think so far of the violent torpedo of...
Whatever.
Sounds like a dud.
Well, he did all right in Cleveland. He made a comeback.
Yeah,
well, they're desperate for entertainment. It's him or Drew Carey.
He's trying to trademark 22 of his phrases now. He already has, you can get T-shirts, mugs. What's even sadder than Charlie Sheen is the person that thinks they need a duh-winning mug.
Duh-winning. And Epic is taken from Brian Wilson, the Giants closer. Sorry. He took that one from Brian Wilson. Because he's a Giants fan.
epic. It ripped off a closure. Yeah, my goddesses.
Surely bit me.
All right. Prince is making a $250,000 donation to a nonprofit group that aims to make sure all children in Columbia, South Carolina graduate from college. Oh, that's exciting. That would make me go $250,000. All right. Just, I don't know. Donald Trump, Jim, is driving the Indianapolis 500 pace car.
It's huge.
Yes,
it's
huge.
Huge car. You're fine. It doesn't even fit on the track. It's huge.
I'm going to drive around the opposite way. While most people are circling left, that's the problem in this country. I'm going to circle to the right.
Right.
Many of these cars I can get to follow me.
And I won't need a helmet. I got a hair helmet. It's huge. Huge.
If you look at the the St. Louis Rams helmet, it's designed after my haircut.
What is with him, though? That's how crazy you have to be a Republican candidate these days. He's a birther. We should reinvade Iraq and take their oil.
He's a little nutso.
Yeah.
That's a good new SNL sketch. ¿Quién es más naranja? John Boehner or Donald Trump? He's another orange man. The Orange Man Group.
Carlos says, Rocky, aren't you having a baby? Not you personally.
Breaking news, June May 18th, a female Alice Rocky coming.
Yay.
It's almost my birthday.
Yes.
May 19th.
The savior will be born.
And the star arose in the east.
Yes, Hillary Clinton's new running mate in the 2020-something election.
I certainly hope you're able to find the right stroller, because Victoria Beckham apparently freaked out because she couldn't get a, let me see what it's called here, because I would know all this stuff. Let me just review.
She better not have gotten the one I wanted.
She became inconsolable when she found out an 1800 eye candy baby transporter was unavailable in any shops or online.
I want it! She's like Veruca Salt. I want it! I want it now, David!
Well, but it doesn't really exist.
Daddy, I saw it online. I want it now.
I've tried, but it's not
available. Is that me or is that what we used to pay for our first car in the 70s?
Unbelievable.
$1,000.
No, we're going. Go ahead.
I have a little bit of Donald Trump breaking news.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
A brand new Wall Street Journal NBC poll out today says that among Republicans, Romney is the first choice. Donald Trump is the second choice.
Oh, dear God.
17%?
Oh, dear God.
Wow.
Who let the dogs out? It's me. I'm the one who let the dogs out.
Oh, all he's got to do is mention the health care plan. Romney's health care plan is in place now.
Can you already, hear the heavy hand, the ham-handed ad? It will just be one ad after another of him saying, Obama.
You're fired.
Yeah, you okay, we get it.
He's still going to have to answer that, giving his property to Gaddafi, though.
You can use my property, but then I pulled the rug out from under him. I did one thing. I played the shell game with him. It was great. I said, the ball's over here, and it was in this cup, and I made money. Yeah, he's a...
All right, Carlos...
made a huge amount of money, and he's
we're getting
fired.
The Bob.
Speaking of, Angelina Jolie was in is in Libya, so you know what that means. It could mean...
more kids.
Most of us bring home an ugly shirt we never wear again. She normally brings a child home, wherever she...
Or seven.
Yeah.
Yes. But apparently she's not adding a seventh member to the child army.
No?
No. She is in Libya meeting with refugees in Touch Weekly, where I go from all my celebrity news. Says that she, whenever she adopts a child, she has the coordinates of their birthplace tattooed on her arm.
Oh, wow.
And but this latest one is of Oklahoma, where Brad is from, because he wants to settle down in L.A. and stop traveling around the world. So it's actually... She got it for him.
They literally do have a seven-nation army. Jack White should sue.
Brad's from Missouri.
She has to get that tattoo removed, I guess.
I thought it was Michigan. We better look that up. She's got to get laser that stuff off.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Dana Milbank wrote the Paul Ryan awful budget plan. He wrote, it isn't a serious budget proposal because it fails at the central mission of ending the deficit and taming the debt. He further wrote, how could the House Republicans make such enormous cuts and yet not solve the debt crisis? Simple. Ryan's proposal isn't a budget. It's a manifesto for the anti-tax cause. It's like a religious thing. Remember when he said this isn't a budget, it's a cause? Budgets are not supposed to be causes. Without question, he makes severe cuts. He cuts hundreds of billions of dollars from Medicaid, ends the Medicare entitlement, slashes planned spending on transportation, energy, education, veterans benefits, agriculture payments, counterterrorism, and more.
It's weird. It's a party that claims to be forward-looking, but they drag out Newt Gingrich again. They bring up the memory of Ronald Reagan. They want to return. They want to go back. They want to go back to the good old days when white people had the best seats on public transportation. You know, it's just kind of scary.
But here's the key part. For all these cuts, the Republicans' plan increases the federal debt by more than $8 trillion over the next 10 years, and it continues federal budget deficits until nearly 2040.
Short-term planning? Shocking. Reaganomics has never bore out that it works.
Well, it reduces the government's revenues by $4 trillion over 10 years because of tax cuts, including a lower top rate for businesses and the wealthy. Even more, they're giving literally even more tax cuts to the rich.
Republicans love deficits because it tells Democrats that they can't get anything they want. Look, we can't afford it.
Yeah.
That's always been their modus operandi.
Like a shutdown is coming.
Yeah, Chris, do we have any breaking news this morning? It's hard to tell. I mean, we're down to it, right?
Yeah.
Boehner
just held a press conference.
And what did our orange overlord have to say this morning?
They just say they're working towards a conference.
Working toward it, yeah.
Whatever.
Sure they are. They're working hard.
They're going to play Skins.
Yeah.
Whoever wins the Skins game.
Exactly. Michelle Bachmann, oh boy. She says she offered up her wide, extensive life that she's lived as preparation for the presidency.
I've been to all the Tri-Cities.
She said, I do have a very broad, extensive background. I'm a student of many years. I've studied a wide berth of topics, which didn't include geography, I guess.
I
am a student of many years. I graduated the Hawk from the Eagle Moon University when the forest was green and the white man gave me my diploma.
She said, she's telling Bill O'Reilly, this is why she's qualified. I've lived life. Tomorrow I'll be celebrating my 55th birthday.
Wow.
Just being an age, I guess, is what
makes
you president.
Just getting a cake makes you qualified.
And my husband made me a lovely pantsuit.
Yeah, I blew out all those candles in one try. Yeah, because she refused to answer the question, was it on Morning Joe?
About
the statements that she has made, which have proven
false. Oh, they played a whole montage for her,
and
complete lies that she told.
Kept listing her qualifications instead of...
Wow.
Surprise, answering the question.
She said, oh, well, what about the president? They're like, what? I don't know what she was implying, that he lies, but she didn't really say what. So
yeah, what about him, that old fifth grade trick? I know you are, but what am I?
Yeah, that was
but
it.
She says it wrong. I know you are, but why am I?
I can see Madison from my house.
Oh, yeah.
45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments with Carlos Alzerachi, comedian extraordinaire, on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Believe me, this is so deeply warped, even I get it.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Tomorrow, Stop Beck's Angelo, am I saying that right?
Carasone.
Love him. And in fact, he stopped Beck, so, you know. I don't know. Now he has to find a new cause.
Oh, he has.
Oh, I'm betting we'll find out what that is tomorrow. And Fridays with Fuglesang, and a big, big announcement from the Stephanie Miller Show tomorrow. Don't miss it. Carlos Alzerachi, comedian extraordinaire.
You coming back in?
Pardon me?
Are you coming back in?
Yes, I'm going back in the closet.
You're coming back in.
Yep.
And we're celebrating the 10-year anniversary of Fairly Odd Parents. Jim and I. Chet Chubetcho over there. And Juanissimo. And Mr. Crocker. Harry's!
I'm Chet Chubetcho, and I'm incredibly handsome.
That you are, Jim. And we hope to get jobs on How to Train Your Dragon. I know Jimmy and I we're probably two of the best white, non-Scottish people, the best dialects out there.
Yeah, and it's the real Craig Ferguson about, you know.
Yes. He's the real item. You can't even replace him, you know.
You can't replace Craig
Ferguson. But you can't slash his tires or cut his brake lines. Oh, you never know what happens. I got a late night talk show. My guest is my buddy Jim Ward.
By the way, in case you're wondering, this is what it's like all morning long when Jim and Carlos are together.
And we haven't even
when two voice guys are together, this is what it's like.
And that's without caffeine?
Yeah.
But
you know Carlos Alzerachi from, of course, Reno 911, Taco Bell Chihuahua. And
Viva Gorditas. Wow, Stephanie.
I can't speak. She's so beautiful. Stephanie Miller.
And my favorite from your stand-up is the poodle that's arthritic from years of dancing for its food.
Come on, Chris, get your treats. Give me the food, you ass. Oh, you're so cute, Muffin.
I will be at, if you're in Pennsylvania and you're listening to the Stephanie Miller Show, I'll be at Penn State University with Cedric Yarbrough tomorrow night, ooh, Friday night.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! And then Saturday night at, it's called Fiamme Restaurant. It's called Headliners Comedy Club in Thousand Oaks at 9 o'clock. That's on Saturday night. Sunday, I'm hosting the closing ceremonies and awards at the L.A. Shorts Comedy Film Festival, L.A. Comedy Shorts Film Festival, Gary Anthony Williams Shindig, largest comedy shorts film festival in the world, at the Elevate Lounge on Sunday night at 7 o'clock. I think Cedric Yarbrough is hosting a karaoke night tonight, opening night. I don't know where that is, so check out LAComedyShortsFilmFestival.com for details.
Right.
And tonight, at the Comedy Central stage, with Dana Gould, Matt Besser, Mary Birdsong, The Set List by Troy Conrad, all improvised stand-up comedy where comedians get their set list created by writers 60 seconds before they go on stage, plus audience suggestions, which they draw out of a bucket.
All right.
So it's like
Carlos,
real comedy.
For all of those plugs, I now need you to do a Faraway Dog, please. That so much. I love it. I made him do it every single day when we work together.
Faraway Dog.
It's Faraway Dog. We've been talking all morning about what's going on in Wisconsin, and we had reported Scott Walker. He's just getting bitch slapped left and right. Say, Joanne Kloppenburg won the Supreme Court race. It was reported yesterday he had hired an unqualified donor's son to an $81,500 a year taxpayer paid job. Today,
raise.
He had to he demoted the man in response. The Milwaukee paper is reporting.
Yeah, you were mentioning earlier he makes no facial expressions. He's very serial killerish.
Yeah, isn't he?
I don't get happy. I don't get sad. Right, Clarice?
Yes, exactly.
It's all about the budget, Clarice. This is not about killing unions.
Killing unions. What does he do, this man you seek?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what I love, though, is when somebody actually speaks the truth or wants to call a bill what it actually is in Congress, then that's considered radical. Representative Jerry Conley, whom we love, Chris, the Democrat. So weeks ago, the Koch brothers, they funded, the climate change denying Republicans. It's this anti-EPA bill. It's the you can dump everything in our air and water bill.
Sure.
Representative Jerry Conley, Democrat of Virginia, he has submitted to the House Rules Committee a series of amendments that would change the title of the bill to the Koch Brothers Appreciation Act. And, he has a series of amendments that he would change the titles of the bill, everything to the Middle Eastern Economic Development and Assistance Act, to the Head in the Sand Act, the Oil Producing Economy Capitulation Act. It's not going to pass the Senate anyway, but he was having some fun.
He's trying. Brockovich, Schmockovich, we don't need clean water.
yesterday, it's
good for you.
Several major news outlets reported that Bristol Palin was paid $262,500 for her work at a nonprofit called the Candies Foundation. That was seven times more than they actually spent on teen pregnancy prevention.
Wow.
Ironic.
A spokesperson claimed that the Candies Foundation disclosure was somehow engineered by an anti-Palin organization that says Trigg isn't Sarah Palin's son. They appear to be referring to the blog Palin Gates, which posted a link. But those links, you can find them anywhere. The 990 form for Candies Foundation is widely available with the IRS or any charitable foundation database. So once again, the Palins claim conspiracy.
Yes.
We're out to get them. All right, I have a brand new 2011 Reince Priebus.
What? Huh? What?
He's the chairman of the RNC. I don't know. His name is Reince Priebus.
Reince, in the corner, Reince.
Reince.
Your feet bad, stick out your hand, where's the ruler?
An economic car.
Reince!
Because this is almost record time, he criticized Obama for cutting Medicare, remember back in the Affordable Care Act. He's now touting Paul Ryan's Medicare busting budget. Because it completely destroys it, I guess, better.
Sure.
Yeah, don't cut it. Destroy it.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't be weak. Don't be weak.
Even the queen.
Exactly. We've been talking, obviously, with the budget debate, a lot of talk about taxing the rich. I, I, I don't understand what is so hard to understand about these corporations that pay zero, even if you're not good at math, right? Think Progress asked Jeff Duncan, Republican South Carolina, if he's concerned about corporate tax dodgers. He replied that corporate taxes are actually too high. When reminded that the country's largest and most profitable companies actually pay nothing, he was in disbelief.
That's still too high.
He eventually, conceded he would have to research that and get back to you. Republicans, they always have to get back to us.
Getting back to you never seems to happen.
They don't really quite seem to. How can you be in office and not know that?
Try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
Republican Tim Pawlenty asked about Bank of America paying nothing, replied he thought corporate taxes are too high. Immediately after he
nothing
was told
is too high.
They pay nothing.
Nothing is too high.
Yes.
Zero. Should be minus
should
five.
Be, yes, they should be giving them more money.
It should be the temperature of Minnesota privilege. In the winter.
And we do, right? We give, like, you know, subsidies. I mean, it's just, it is so lopsided. It's like Michael Moore and others keep saying, we're not broke. The money's all in the wrong hands. Mm-hmm.
It makes for funny sitcoms on NBC, though. Outsourcing, they've taken your jobs. That's really hilarious.
Sure. Yes, it's very good for me, you know.
Carlos Alzraki, where can we find out things about Carlos Alzraki?
Carlos Alzraki on Twitter, CarlosAlzraki.com. I'm also on the Facebook thing, so Facebook away, and I'll tell you stuff that's going on down there.
And
we have links at StephanieMiller.com in case you can't spell it.
Yes, links at StephanieMiller.com to find all things Carlos Alzraki. Carlos, always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me in again.
I've missed you so.
Thank you.
All right,
I'm in love with Anthony Weiner. Can I say that? I've got a man crush on Anthony Weiner.
It's Anthony Weiner.
It's fine. All right. Big announcement on the show tomorrow. Don't miss it. We'll see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.